Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Promised Land podcast with me, Scott Saunders, talking all things Manchester United. The international break is over. Brentford await at Old Trafford at 3 p.m. UK time on Saturday. And Brentford have a habit of scoring in the first minute of a lot of matches they're playing in at the moment. So you just know what's going to happen, don't you, with Man United doing nothing about the manager over the last 2 weeks. The last time I came back to you and spoke about United and spoke about the manager situation, I said I thought it was the right time for United to part ways with Erik ten Hag, but they have dug their heels in and essentially made a decision by not making a decision. They're sticking with Erik ten Hag for now. At least he has a chance to turn things around over the next few games. Brentford to start with, Fenerbahce await in the Europa League on Thursday after that as well. Simply put, Erik ten Hag and Man United have to start winning matches, and he is in charge. And funnily enough, the guy that I said I would like to see him replaced with in that last episode has now taken over the England job. Thomas Tuchel is the England manager. So a lot's happened between the last two recordings that I've done. And I do apologize, by the way. It seems like I'm doing this a lot, but I have been without internet at home because BT are essentially useless until the last couple of days. So it's been a bit of a challenge to record the podcast, but I am back. Fingers crossed everything is okay. And fingers crossed Manchester United can actually start turning things around on the pitch. They'll be having the same guy in charge that they've had in charge for the last two and a bit years. And I'll run through my thoughts on that today. I'll run through my thoughts on never expecting Thomas Tuchel to join England, but United have, for me, lost out on a primary candidate to succeed Ten Hag. Are they to sack him? The injuries are starting to mount up again. Kobbie Mainoo could miss the next seven matches. Harry Maguire is out for a couple of weeks as well. And a lot has happened generally in the meantime over the last week. There's been uproar about Ineos deciding to end payments to Sir Alex Ferguson, who is an ambassador for the football club. Paul Pogba has spoken out about his time at Manchester United. And I'm not really going to go into that today, but because I'll be here all day. But lots going on. And importantly, the football is back. Importantly, we need to see things turn around on the pitch. And Erik ten Hag must show improvement, or we're just effectively delaying the inevitable. So I just wanted to run through all of that on a show today ahead of the Brentford game. And I'll definitely be back to talk about whatever happens in that Brentford game after it as well. But thanks for downloading the show, or thanks for watching the show on YouTube, wherever you get this, whether that be on audio or video. Apple and Spotify is where you can find the Promised Land Manchester United podcast on audio, and YouTube, the Promised Land and Manchester United podcast. If you haven't subscribed already, please do. Everywhere would really, really help out. And drop me a follow on social media as well, at @_ScottSaunders on Twitter or X, which has been honestly awful over the last few weeks. I don't know about you guys, but I used to love Twitter, and it's just a constant stream of negative. And I'll be talking a little bit about that later in the show as well, because there's so much going on, and I've really kind of started forming a thought process around everything that I see. I work in media, but I consume it as well, and it just seems to be constantly negative, and it doesn't put you in a good headspace. I'm fine generally, but it just, you kind of want to escape it. And I think it's not good to live through at the moment. But you know, it's that's the way that it is. I'm trying to see through and cut through all the nonsense. And I'll try my very best to do that with a lot of things that I'm seeing. Erik ten Hag has actually started doing that today as well. So I'll start with ten Hag. But yeah, please follow me on social at @_ScottSaunders on X or Twitter, which I've just rambled on about and ranted about for a couple of minutes there. And TikTok and Instagram as well, at @_ScottSaunders. Please give me a follow. But let's get into what is happening at Manchester United. Ten Hag is still in charge, obviously. And he will be on the touchline for the Brentford game. And this is what he's had to say about all of the speculation around his job which has taken place over the first few days of that international break. And when I last recorded, I think I recorded on a Monday or a Tuesday, and essentially said, I think it's the right time to change. And Ten Hag has not convinced me, he's not shown me enough to think that he is the right man to take United forward. Yeah, I know a lot of people have been there for a while. I came to that conclusion, but I'm not going to sit here and speak down this microphone and say to you that I'm going to constantly be shouting, get this guy out of the club, because that is not how I want to operate. And I don't think it's healthy to operate that way. As much as it might generate loads of clicks, as much as it might generate loads of engagements, if Ineos believe that this is a plan that they want to go ahead with and they feel like Erik ten Hag is the right guy to do that job to start with, we'll see how long it lasts for. Maybe a miracle happens and he does turn things around and United do climb a mountain. But, you know, he said in his last press conference, he said, me and the club are on the same page. I'll be back. And turns out he is. And what he said in his post-match press conference ahead of the Brentford game at Old Trafford today is, and I wanted to wait to see what he had to say because to record this show, because I felt like something would come out. And this is what he said. Noise is only coming from some of you, the media, creating stories and fairy tales, bringing lies. Some journalists didn't believe me. I saw the reports. Of course, we are unhappy with the position where we are. Ultimately, we are quiet and composed within the club. We stick to the plan and are very convinced it will be a success. So that is what he said. And he was right. The reporting around that situation with the manager, there was a big meeting on a Tuesday or a Wednesday last week where it seemed like a big decision would be made. It was a pre-scheduled meeting, obviously, between important members of the club's board and Ineos and big decision makers. But people were expecting that a decision would be made to part ways with Ten Hag, but it turns out it was just a routine meeting to run through a number of things. And outside of the manager, I'm sure the manager's position was discussed. I'm sure that it was discussed, but they have not made a decision to part ways with him. And they effectively haven't said anything. And for me, I kind of like it. I kind of like it. So it's a hell of a lot different. Like, what would you have wanted Ineos to do in that situation? If they had decided to make a change, then fair enough, they would have had to communicate something. But I think we got to a point where some people were expecting Ineos to come out and say, yes, we're sticking by the manager, even if they didn't need to do that. You know, they did that in the summer and they said, this is the plan. They extended his contract and said that we're going to work on this, and they've stuck to their word and they have not let the press have any clue at all about what's happening. And obviously that means that loads of people can speculate and there can be loads of noise, but I think something that has changed under Ineos, and you feel free to get in the comments here or hit me up on social media, see if you disagree with this or agree with this, but there aren't leaks coming out anymore. It seems as though they're much better at retaining information and much better at retaining stuff that they don't want to get out. There may be some situations where things are getting out that they don't want to get out, but it used to be a constant stream of nonsense coming out of the club. Now it seems like there's a lot of clouds hanging over United, but based on more speculation rather than actual fact from within the club. And I think it even got me this time. It really did. It even got me. I thought that we were seeing the final days. I thought it was the right time to do it, and I will stick by that. I thought it was the right time to do it. But now that Ineos have essentially decided not to make a change and to move forward with Ten Hag in charge, I'm fully backing the guy to turn things around. I need to be convinced that he's the right guy to do it, but I'm not going to sit here and say, I don't believe in this guy anymore. I don't want him to be in charge. There's a difference. There's differences in nuance. There's a difference in, you know, how you behave. And I'm not going to I'm not going to sit here and constantly tell you that he's the wrong guy for the job, even if I've lost belief that he is the right man. I need to get that belief back. He needs to show me something where I have that belief back. And maybe people say you're flip-flopping, but I'm going by what I'm seeing. And hopefully, look, I want United to win as much as anybody else. We all want to see that. We all want to see constant, consecutive wins, and United to rocket up the league from 14th or whatever it is and start competing for titles. Ineos have felt that this is the right way to go about it, is to, they're right at the bottom at the moment. They're as low as they've been. But they need to maybe hit this low in order to come back out of it. Maybe that's the judgment. My approach on Tuchel was that at least you'd be able to see an instant uplift. At least you think, like a tactician who come in and utilize the players that he's got available. I didn't ever think that Thomas Tuchel was the right long-term fit, and maybe I didn't stress that in the last podcast, but I didn't think he'd be the right long-term fit, but at least he would get results and take the pressure off Ineos, in a sense, as they decided how to run the club in the long term. That was my take on Thomas Tuchel in that situation. That is why I would have done it, because I just feel like the noise at that time last week was so loud. It was so unbelievably loud, and it was just constant. And it seemed like we'd reached a point where the decision would be that he would part ways, or he would leave the club. It's not turned out that way. And Ineos they continue to go about their business. Erik ten Hag acknowledges that, of course, we are unhappy with the position where we are. And I think everybody is. But the fact that ten Hag is coming out and saying that as well, you can acknowledge that he knows that there's something that he needs to fix. And it's just going to take time. How much time do we have? I don't know. But look, for me, I think I was surprised. Let me know how you felt about that, by the way. Let me know if you felt that Erik ten Hag was staying in charge was a shock or a surprise to you. How are you feeling about it now? Because we've had 2 weeks without a United game. And, the sense of disappointment and dread can maybe dissipate the further away we get from the last fixture. But obviously, if United can see within 2 minutes against Brentford at Old Trafford on Saturday, then I think we'll all be right back in that position of feeling really, really low. Brentford are doing that to a lot of teams, by the way, so it would not shock me in the slightest if that happened on Saturday. But, it's bold from Ineos. It's bold because Thomas Tuchel was right there. He was right there, and I understand that people maybe didn't want him, but from my take, it was, this is a guy who will come in for 18 months or so and get the players that you have in the team performing to a higher level and a performance level expected of them. And wins fix everything. Wins really fix everything. So it was maybe a way for Ineos to take pressure off themselves as they, as I say, get their feet under the table and can start implementing long-term strategies without all the noise of loss after draw, shining a light on how quickly they're able to turn the club around. But miraculous, really, really crazy. Miraculous may be the wrong word, but Thomas Tuchel joining England, I did not see that coming. I did not see that coming at all. And England have, for me, they have taken United's best alternative to Erik ten Hag as it stands on the market. So that option's now gone. United spoke to Tuchel in the summer, obviously, and that they decided it was not the right fit, or Tuchel decided it was not the right fit, dependent on which media you read, dependent on which what you believe. But United made their choice in the summer to stick with ten Hag, and they've effectively made their choice again. And now Tuchel has taken that job in charge of England. There's been a whole load of nonsense for me. Maybe I'm not an England fan, obviously. If you can sense it in my voice, I'm Welsh. So I'm looking at Craig Bellamy and the football that he's playing at the moment with Wales. And I'm thinking that's really, really exciting. I'm sure that England fans want to see free-flowing attacking football. But I think what England have done here, it's incredibly smart. I think Thomas Tuchel is a really, really good coach. And 18 months on a contract till 2026 with one goal to win the World Cup, I don't think there's many coaches in the world that you would pick ahead of Thomas Tuchel to go and achieve that. That was the justification I would have in my own mind to go and get Thomas Tuchel for United. But obviously, the decision's been made by England. They've pulled the trigger, and Thomas Tuchel is in charge of England. So as a Welshman, that frightens the life out of me, I got to say, because I think England have a real shot of winning the next World Cup, because I think he's a fantastic coach, proven that he's good at winning tournaments. And all the reasons why I would have welcomed him at United for a short-term period are the reasons why I think he'll be a success with England. Hopefully not. We'll see. but what it does mean is Ten Hag has got a reprieve and another shot of matches coming, another shot of the run of games that are coming up. So I'll just run through those again for you. The matches coming up, Brentford tomorrow on Saturday at Old Trafford in the Premier League, Fenerbahce away, West Ham away, Leicester City in the EFL Cup, Chelsea at home in the Premier League, PAOK in the Europa League, Leicester City at home in the Premier League, and then the next international break takes place from around about the 10th of November. So if you've hated this last international break, you got another month, and then we've got another one. So, there's seven games now. It looks like Kobbie Mainoo will miss all those games. But importantly, one of the reasons why I said in the last episode that I think Tuchel would be a smart move is because of the potential uplift in the team you could see really quickly because of the fixtures that United have coming up. This still applies to Ten Hag. Now, I don't have super massive confidence that United can go into all these games and win them. Well, I have no confidence that United will go and win all these games, I've got to say, based on what I've seen. But Man United playing anywhere near their highest potential have a chance of winning all of these games. Brentford, Fenerbahce, West Ham, Leicester, Chelsea at home, PAOK, Leicester at home in the Premier League, and Ipswich Town away after the next international break as well. And it's make or break time for Ten Hag. It really is. Or maybe it isn't. Maybe he gets the whole entire season. But really, what we need to see is United start to turn themselves around now with a favourable fixture list and to start getting up the table from, I believe they're 14th, 6 points off top four. We need to see them putting some wings together, climbing the Europa League table, getting through in the EFL Cup and winning their Premier League matches. Brentford, West Ham, Chelsea, Leicester are the four Premier League games before the next international break. All of them winnable. Obviously, that West Ham one, they're not playing brilliant at the moment, but we saw United go to West Ham last season and lose. And look, they're challenging matches, but really, United have got to start clicking. Ten Hag, the pressure is on him more than ever. But the pressure will be even worse for him if United continue their run of form that we've seen so far this season in these seven matches. The pressure will pile up even more. The calls will get louder. The noise will get louder. And the demands will be higher to make a change after the November international break, unless United lose their next two. God, imagine. In a few days' time, we could be thinking, maybe even at the end of the month, we could be thinking, a change could be immediate. We could be seeing Ruud van Nistelrooy in the hot seat moving forward. But Ten Hag has a chance and he just needs to turn it around. But it's important to point out now that the injuries are starting to creep up again. Luke Shaw and Mason Mount are in recovery. Harry Maguire is set to miss a few weeks after an injury sustained against Aston Villa. But the big one really is Kobbie Mainoo. He will miss seven matches, probably this entire patch of matches up until the next international break, he will not be there for. He pulled out of the England squad, and Ten Hag has received some criticism, obviously, for playing Mainoo through moments where he should have been rotated or rested. And even, yeah, I do have some criticism for Ten Hag and his use of Mainoo, actually, in the first few games of the season. Maybe even through last season, he's asking Mainoo to run a hell of a lot. That's what he demands out of his central midfielders. And Mainoo's pulled up with a hamstring injury and they don't want to rush him back in. And he can't play. It's a big shame because we all know how important Kobbie Mainoo has become so quickly. But United are quite short in that area now. I believe Christian Eriksen and Casemiro will be the two players in the midfield area that are relied on. In the first season under Ten Hag, obviously, they showed that they could really do it, but they're 2 years older than they were back then. And we obviously had concerns about the energy in that area of the pitch at that point. So it's a big shame that Kobbie Mainoo isn't fit to play in the period moving forward. There's a graphic from Sky which puts him in PL stats for 24-25 out of United players, I believe. First on tackle success, first on long ball accuracy, first on interceptions, third on passing accuracy, and fourth on take-on success. And it doesn't actually, whether that's United players or actually in the league in general. Kobbie Mainoo is a fantastic football player who really needs to be nurtured and needs to be protected. It's just a shame, really, that he's this injury problem trend that United have had cleared up at the start of the season, but obviously is starting to strike back again now with the regularity and the volume of matches. I feel like Mainoo's not been really protected enough, and we know what his skill set is, but I think asking him to cover every blade of grass is not how you use him. But that's maybe one you can point at Ten Hag and say, if you got a system to play, maybe like he might have a system that he wants to play and he might ask certain things of his midfielders, but he has maybe different profiles of midfielders like within his squad. Is there a way that you can mix the two together? I think Ten Hag's asking a lot of his players to play the exact style and exact way that he wants to play. And unfortunately, it does mean that a lot of injuries are coming up. And maybe we can look at the medical staff in that sense as well and say that they were there and they were putting Kobbie Mainoo forward to play in matches, and now it's resulted in a potential 7-game layoff or however long it's going to be. So massive blow there. Hopefully Luke Shaw and Tyrone Malacia get back at some point soon. Feels like we've been saying that for a long, long time. And Mason Mount isn't too far away either. Rasmus Højlund should be okay. And hopefully, look, whatever happens here, no matter the injuries, United are going to have to start picking up points and picking up.
88% of the workweek is spent communicating, typing, talking, and going back and forth on topics until everyone is on the same page. It's time for a change. It's time for Grammarly. Grammarly's AI ensures your team gets the point across the first time, eliminating misunderstandings and streamlining collaboration. It goes beyond basic grammar to help tailor writing to specific audiences. Whether that means adding an executive summary, fine-tuning tone, or cutting out jargon in just one click. 4 out of 5 professionals say Grammarly's AI boosts buy-in and moves work forward. It integrates seamlessly with over 500,000 apps and websites, is implemented in days, and is IT approved. Join over 70,000 teams and 30 million people who trust Grammarly to elevate their communication. Visit grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more. Grammarly, enterprise ready AI.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Their form and climbing the table. So that's the most important thing. And unfortunately, injuries will not wash as excuses over the next few games. It's firmly on Erik ten Hag to make sure that wins are being notched up and good performances are being being put in and improvements are being seen. Otherwise, the questions will continue. The best way that he can go about relieving pressure on his job and on his shoulders is by winning matches. Please drop me a follow, guys. As I've said already, at @_ScottSaunders on X, Instagram, and TikTok. I've flown through a few topics there just to look. I could be here for like an hour or so talking about everything that I've seen happen over the last few days, but want to try and keep it as concise as possible because I think this show will have about 24 hours runtime before the next game, and obviously go out of date quite quickly. But I did just want to touch on one other thing as well, and maybe the Paul Pogba thing, maybe I can talk about that in a future episode or something like that if people want to do it. But he's obviously come back from, you know, or is coming back from a drug ban and has had things to say about how things have been running at United. Romelu Lukaku's done the same if you've been on social media over the last few days. But I think the biggest story really has been this, and I'm going to, just for those of you who are listening on audio, I'm going to share the story about Sir Alex Ferguson and his ambassadorial contract being ended by Ineos on October the 15th. That was broken by Adam Crafton at The Athletic, and the absolute noise, unbelievable noise around this decision that has come up since has been remarkable to me. Or maybe not remarkable, because I have seen and I feel like I understand the media cycles now. I've been working in this industry for about a decade, and how social media is used to stir up noise and stir up one side of the argument versus the other side of the argument. The story, I'm sure everybody knows what it is, but the story on the screen that I'm sharing on YouTube, please subscribe to the show, by the way, on YouTube if you haven't done so already. But if you're listening on audio, the story goes from The Athletic. Ineos continued their cost-cutting drive by cutting multi-million pound annual payment to Sir Alex Ferguson, who will cease to be a global ambassador for the club at the end of the season. Sir Jim Ratcliffe informed Ferguson last week. So basically, the crux of the story is that Sir Alex Ferguson, since his retirement as manager, has been paid around £2 million a year to be an ambassador for the club and to represent the club and to turn up at matches and to obviously do ambassadorial duties. United have these agreements with a number of other former players. I would imagine Ferguson's deal is as lucrative as any of them. And we do often see him at matches sitting alongside members of Ineos, and we've seen him speak to Jim Ratcliffe. And obviously, he's been brought into the fold, and I think it's been a good thing. But this comes in an extension of a trend that Ineos have been trying to do over the last few months, and especially since they've taken charge, of cutting costs, essentially. United have had a lot of criticism for cutting staff jobs at the football club, and that was a few months ago now where that decision was made. Obviously, the question is, get rid of the players because they're underperforming. I think, like, when you sign player contracts, it's not as easy as that. You can cancel contracts at your own expense. It's millions and millions of pounds. They still go on your books. But obviously, United have had a lot of criticism, and Ineos particularly have had a lot of criticism for this, and no bigger criticism really than Eric Cantona, who said, Sir Alex Ferguson should be able to do anything he wants at the club until the day he dies. Such a lack of respect, it's totally scandalous. Sir Alex Ferguson will be my boss forever, and I throw them all in a big bag of S swear word. And this obviously sends media into frenzy if it hadn't been already. Eric Cantona was my favourite player growing up as a kid, and I completely get the sentiment. I completely get where he's coming from. I watched up growing Sir Alex Ferguson's teams, and he is an idol to millions and millions and millions of people for the success that he achieved at United. And United have not got anywhere near Ferguson's success since. The standards that he set for this football club, the standards that he set alongside Eric Cantona at this football club, United are nowhere near them. And I don't know how long it'll ever take for them to get back to those points. But, and feel free, like if you're watching this in the comments, please get involved in this, because I am really keen to like hear the opposite point of view. But I think this is so overblown. I don't know about you guys, but please let me know. But I think this is so, so, so overblown. It's unbelievable, honestly. Ineos have looked at an expense that the club are outlaying, which is working against them in like financial terms. They have to be ruthless. They have to be ruthless. And I will talk about them being ruthless in a second, because I think they have been to a degree. Maybe not with the manager. And I'm sure everybody will say, yeah, they've been ruthless, but the most ruthless decision they could have made is to part ways with Ten Hag, because we know that he needs to go. And they haven't done that, so they're not ruthless. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. But I feel like they're giving Ten Hag a chance to turn the ship around, because they've had conversations with him, and they believe in what he's saying and believe that they're all working as a unit. We'll see how long that lasts. But Ineos have got a lot of bad press for a lot of the decisions that they've made. And every time I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, I understand it completely. I understand the criticism that they're getting for Ferguson leaving. They sacked Ferguson before Ten Hag. One stays, one goes, you know, that, as the thumbnail of this video says. But Ineos have come into the club, and I think people fail to remember this consistently. And maybe you're listening to this and you do remember this, and you sit on this side. But it seems like over the last week or so that Ineos have somehow, to talk about, I like wrestling, right? To talk about a wrestling, Rob loved wrestling as well. We talk about this all the time. It seems like Ineos and the Glazers have done a double turn, and Ineos have all of a sudden turned heel because they're making all these unpopular decisions. The latest being to cut Sir Alex Ferguson's $2 million a year salary for being an ambassador. It's caught flack from Eric Cantona, who's called it totally scandalous. Ineos, remember, named their vehicle to buy United as Trawlers Limited, in a play on Eric Cantona's "when the seagulls follow the trawler" quote from 95, 96, or after his ban in the 90s. And obviously the risk is, oh, this is going to blow up in their face in a social media world. They talk about it on national television. They talk about it on national radio, how it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. They're running this club into the ground. The people that have run this club into the ground are the Glazer family. I am sorry. I need to remind you of that. The people who've run this club into the ground and spent money erroneously and spent money irresponsibly are the Glazer family. I'm not saying that $2 million on Sir Alex Ferguson a year as club ambassador is irresponsible spending from the Glazers, but they have irresponsibly spent in other areas. And Ineos have come in, and they have a team of people to... United are on the verge of PSR breaks, and they have been for a couple of years. That is mental. That is crazy. Manchester United on the verge of PSR, you know, PSR fines and, you know, points deductions, this kind of thing, like we've seen with other clubs in the Premier League. United are one of the have been one of the richest clubs in the world. They were saddled with debt by the Glazer family in a leveraged buyout. They put a banker in charge of their transfers after David Gill left. They spent money so erroneously on players, and that theme continued right until the end with the signings of Antony and Casemiro. And what Ineos are in here trying to do is turn things around. And unfortunately, that will mean that unpopular decisions are made. And Sir Alex Ferguson's salary being cut is going to be an unpopular decision, obviously. But I just have to stress this before the end of the show. They have been forced into this position because of bad decisions that were made previously. We were all calling for somebody to take the steering wheel away from the Glazers and turn the club around, on and off the pitch. Unfortunately, unpopular decisions have to come. And we might see some players that we like leave. And I always stand by this. They are in charge of a club that has been run into the ground, that have been failing for 10, 11 years now. And they're still among the highest spenders in world football on wages and transfer fees over that time. Yet they've been plunging down the league table and are nowhere near the heights that Sir Alex Ferguson and Eric Cantona used to take United to. And Sir Alex Ferguson took United to with players after Eric Cantona as well. But they're in a place here where sentiment can't come into this. And the meltdown around this decision from all parts of the media, the meltdown has been absolutely incredible. And like I talked about at the start of the show, how social media and Twitter or X is a constant stream of negativity at the moment. I used to love that app. I really did. It's a constant stream of negativity. I'm constantly fed with negativity. Comes in so many different forms. You're always served that. It's never really ever positive, really. And that obviously drives agendas. The most engaged with tweets or messages come up. And generally, it's one side or the other. And obviously, how can you do this to a legend? Why have you sacked Sir Alex Ferguson off before you've sacked the manager who's failing to get the club any higher than 14th or 8th out of the club before him? Look, I get that side, but you need to take a step back and look at the job and the what Ineos have inherited. They have inherited an absolute mess. And unfortunately, it does mean that they need to make some unpopular decisions. And this is overlooked as well. It's been reported that this was amicably decided. But no, obviously. We have to make a massive deal out of this. And even, I've touched on Thomas Tuchel already. Even the debate around the fact that he's not English, that took over my timeline for 3 days. It dominated newspapers. It was called embarrassing by pundits. This is one of the best managers in the world. England want to win the World Cup. Yet we have to sit through these narratives, which are just, they come and go in a flash as well, by the way. Like, I even thought coming into this episode that I was about 3 days too late to the Ferguson story. And I probably am, given it was happening a few days ago. But I think the reason why I'm doing it today is because I wanted to make this point. There's storms in teacups, these are. And please, like, I know that people who listen to this podcast come to this podcast for reasoned opinion, or used to anyway, whether you feel like I don't have that. And I've had some comments saying that this is just like all the others now. And fine, if you feel like that, then fine. But I've always tried to come at it from a middle level, where everything is, I think a lot of things are overblown nowadays. And important to remember this as well. I've said it recently that anything that is around Manchester United, the media feeds off lack of success and problems around Manchester United. So anything, any problem that United do have, any loss that United do have, sends people into frenzy, because you've got to remember that United were absolutely dominant through the 90s and 2000s. And there's a generation of people who grew up without watching United win all the time, thinking, oh God, like, I hate this lot. I hate this lot. And for everyone who isn't a United fan, there's a lot of people who aren't United fans that hate United. That, you can feed that down their throats, and they will eat that up, and they will love it, because it's the opportunity to point and laugh at this fallen giant. I'm really looking at this and starting to, well, I've seen through it for a long time, but I hope I'm communicating this in the right way and like concisely. There's media feed off United's problems. And everything around, even the Ten Hag example, there was nothing in that. Ineos said nothing. And yet they even had people like me believing that a change was coming. They said nothing. And look, that's kind of what I wanted to say on that, really. All I'm trying to say to, if you're listening or to this or you're watching this, try and take a step back now and again and see how media are trying to manipulate football fans. I've worked in media for a decade. I've been the managing editor of a website that does millions and millions and millions of clicks a month. Guess who was top of that list? Guess which club had the biggest percentage of clicks? By a mile. One. Manchester United. And that is unfortunately what makes the wheels go round. That's what makes engagement go around on social media. That's what makes, you can monetize your tweets now, by the way. That's what makes people money on social media, criticizing United. If you follow me on X or Twitter, it's @_ScottSaunders. I tend to come at it from the side of stop the noise. My reaction to that decision on Sir Alex Ferguson, I'd said, if Ineos had retained Sir Alex Ferguson's contract, they'd have been criticized for continuing to pay him while cost cutting. Now, obviously, like, think of that. If that story had come out from The Athletic, where it was revealed that Sir Alex Ferguson was getting $2 million a year to do nothing apart from represent the club while United were cutting jobs, imagine the criticism they'd have got in that sense. Imagine that. Now, when Ineos have made the decision, it's a bad PR move, which I've seen people say. And yes, it is. It is. Ideally, they wouldn't have had to do it, but the position that they're in means that they've had to. I finished that with, they're trying to fix a club that's been failing and spending money erroneously for a decade, and the outrage is tiring. And that's how I feel. And hopefully you can come to this podcast and chill a bit. I've not been super chilled today. Maybe a little more animated than usual. But I just wanted to point it out, because that's something that I'm seeing, and I'll never try and do that. I hope, anyway. Like, touch wood, I'm touching my desk here. I will never try and do that. I'll never come at it from outrage angles or whatever. I always prefer to take a step back, analyze the situation, and come at it, you know, from an angle which is not going with the ridiculous majority. Sometimes I might agree with it, but things, especially around United at the moment, are so overblown. And I'm talking about Sir Alex Ferguson there. I'm talking about even Thomas Tuchel with England. The crazy, absolutely crazy. And obviously the situation with Ten Hag after the last game and his job. That was days of speculation about him being sacked. I made a podcast about it, and I said that I thought it was the right time, but I'm not going to come here. Like, in future, I'm not going to come here. Even if United lose 4-0 tomorrow, I might think it is the right time for him to go. But if the club decide that that is the right way to do it and to turn the ship around, I'm willing to be patient with it. And maybe other people don't have that kind of patience. But, you know, Erik ten Hag is a good manager for me still. I think if he left the club, you'd probably see a good manager. You've seen even this Final example for you, Scott McTominay. I know people were split on Scott McTominay. He scored scoring goals for Napoli at the moment. He's loved by Napoli. Paolo Di Canio's calling the decision makers at United crazy for letting him go. I'd have liked to have kept Scott McTominay as well. But Antonio Conte is leaving, or is having Napoli play a style of football which gets the best out of Scott McTominay. If a Man United manager was playing a style of football to utilize getting the best out of Scott McTominay, which Ten Hag was doing at points last season, by the way, he was getting criticized for it. The differences are mad. Players can leave and they can get out of this atmosphere at Old Trafford. It's a cesspool a lot of times. It's constant negativity. But just, if you listen to this still, I don't know if you are, hopefully you are, just take a step back and think. If Ten Hag had put a system together which meant that he was getting the best out of Scott McTominay picking up second balls and scoring goals. On the face of it, yeah, I'm sure people might have liked it. But what people want to see out of Ten Hag's United and any manager that takes charge of United after him or before him is a style of play that can match Man City and Liverpool and Arsenal. Do we think Man City would be trying to utilize, you know, we want to build this football club around technically proficient, amazing players. And unfortunately, Scott McTominay was sold for the reason being that he's not super technically efficient, very good footballer, has different qualities though. And I love Scott McTominay. I really, really wish he does well, but just keep an eye on the differences in how teams are judged versus United. United are always held up as this negative, awful football club. And there are so many problems at United at the moment that unless we start seeing through this, this trend will continue and it'll still add pressure to the players. It'll still add pressure to the managers and everyone else. And maybe that means that this malaise is extended for more years or a long time to come. But look, what will help is a win. And United play Brentford at Old Trafford on Saturday in their first league match back after the international break. Erik ten Hag is still in charge. There's some injuries to contend with. And let's hope that I'll make the same joke I made at the start that Manchester United don't concede in the first minute because Brentford have a trend of scoring goals in the opening periods of matches. And that would be really difficult to come back from. Let's hope that United can get their act together. Let's hope Ten Hag can turn it around. And I'll speak to you after the Brentford game. Until then, subscribe to the channel if you have not done so already. The Promised Land, a Manchester United podcast. And please subscribe to the channel on Apple and Spotify as well. Follow me on social at @_ScottSaunders. And until next time, everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. This has been the Promised Land podcast with me, Scott.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.